All right, let's hit the field.
All right.
Just wanted to talk, that's all.
It was game six of 162, and the Yankees were trying to remain unbeaten in 2024. Nestor Cortes Jr. on the mound, hoping to rebound from a rocky first outing, and the Yankees were facing off against Zach Gallen, one of the best pitchers in the National League. My recap, your reactions, coming up next. This is NYY Recaps.
Welcome to Yankee Stadium.
New York City.
Just when they thought I was out,
they pull me back in.
Welcome back. At least I didn't have to worry about fitting the fun hat over the headphones tonight. So all good things must come to an end, and the Yankees win streak vanished like a fart in the wind, to borrow a line from Shawshank Redemption. Joining me tonight, West Coast representative of this podcast, Mr. Terrence Kim. We call him TK. This is the tough part of the job, TK. How do we have fun? How do we create a good time for the audience, you know, after a game like this that was just ugly?
It's tough. This game was just boring. It just was. I mean, they didn't really do much. I think the same three guys kind of contributed offensively. I saw Soto had a hit, Volpe had a hit, Oswaldo had a hit. Actually, Oswaldo made a very nice play in the field that Rizzo missed the scoop on. So he's looking real nice at third base. Just wanted to highlight that. But, you know, 162 games, they're not going to go 162-0. This is baseball. It's not like the other sports. Losses are going to happen, especially when you're facing a guy like Zach Gallen. I mean, dude is one of the premier pitchers in the game right now. Yeah. He just had it on tonight. So it's going to happen. Not entirely concerning. I mean, I saw some things here and there that may be concerning for the future. But overall, you know, losses are going to happen. Sucks, yeah. But kind of is what it is. Move on. Take the series tomorrow.
Worst part about this is staying up late on the East Coast to watch a game where the Yankees don't score. But I want to give a shout out to the West Coast folks. Last night I was doing a show and we had a lot of West Coast folks on there. Terrence on the West Coast, so obviously wanted to have that represented. So tough night for Mr. Nestor Cortes. You know, just hit too many bats once again. Second straight game that he's put the Yankees in a big hole. Let's talk about it.
All right, let's go. Let's get it going.
It was messy right from the beginning.
Yeah. You know what I noticed with him is he battled, though. He had a rough first inning, and then he did battle, which he did in his previous start. But I've noticed he's not doing the, like, nasty Nestor crazy leg kick stuff like he was in 2021 when he was an all-star. And I think he starts doing that when he's really starting to feel it in a game, when he gets into a rhythm, when he gets comfortable, he starts to kind of bust out some of that slide step stuff and the hesitations just to mess with hitters' timings. And because Nestor's not a guy who throws hard, I do think that he has to rely on that to mess with people's timing. So to me, I just don't think he looks entirely comfortable yet. Maybe I think mentally he's still thinking about his shoulder. Maybe he's fine, like he feels fine, but it's still in the back of his mind like he had this issue and he's not trying to push it. That kind of seems like it to me. I don't know. What do you think, Derek?
Yeah, I mean, all I know is that he's having trouble early in the game. Second game in a row that you're having trouble early in the game. My next solution as a pitching coach would be, let's get him out to the bullpen a little bit earlier. Let's get him to break a little bit more of a sweat. Maybe, you know, sometimes you feel like you're loose, but you're not really 100% loose. You know, you just feel good, but you really need to break a good sweat. So push it, you know, have a simulated inning maybe before the game, and then go out and maybe you pull your pitch count back a little bit that day, but it gets you into a better rhythm to begin the game. And maybe, a lower pitch count, you can still get deeper into the game because you're more efficient because you're not putting a bunch of guys on in the first inning. So overall, tough day at the office for Nestor Cortes. Final line, 5 innings, 8 hits.
It stinks.
3 runs, all of them earned. You know, one thing that concerned me is he just wasn't fooling anybody. They were waiting for him to make a mistake out over the plate. Like you said, not doing the shimmy, which is something he does when he's confident. So scale of 1 to 10 from what we've seen from him after 2 starts, I mean, what's your concern level? You see two games, 6.30 ERA, more hits than innings pitched so far, four walks, seven strikeouts. How you feeling about his future?
I want to say like three or four. I'm not really concerned at all. Guys, it's two starts. There's a whole lot of season to play. You know, maybe he's not in a rhythm yet. It's, you know, it could come together. It could not, you know. I think once we get to the 10 start mark is when you have like a real sample size to see what a guy's been doing. But Nestor Cortez is like a funny player because the Yankees had him originally and he was never really anything. Then he gets cut. He gets sent to Seattle, I believe it was. Then he pitches a little bit there. Then he falls to Baltimore and then they DFA him and then we pick him up and he becomes an all-star. So it's kind of like, I feel like you're always waiting for the other shoe to drop with Nestor, which is totally unfair to say because he had a great stretch with the Yankees, but it's almost like, boy, it's so random that this guy is good. Like I give a comparison I think I'd give is Oswaldo. What if Oswaldo just was an all-star 1 year? It feels a lot like that. He's not a traditionally kind of blue chip all-star player. So yeah. I think as a Yankee fan, I've always kind of been like, is he going to fall back to the means or whatever? But he time in and time out proved that he was an all-star caliber pitcher because he made the things that he's good at work for him. And when I talk about that, I mean like messing with hitters' timings, kind of having a little bit of that funky swag out there, a little bit of El Duque in him.
Yes, El Duque. He's before your time. I'm surprised you know El Duque, man.
Dude, a Yankeeography, all that stuff. I was watching, I was consuming as a child. I was just watching that all the time.
Dude, I love it. Dude, that's why I like you, man.
I told Derek, I'm a freak. I'm totally obsessed. I consumes me all the time. Yankees everything. So bleed pinstripes.
That's great, man. So all right, Volpe had a line drive single in the second inning. That was his fifth hit in a row. I brought this up on Twitter. Now it's X, I guess you call it. Am I nuts to think that we should buy out his arbitration rules or years right now? I feel like, you know. It's not going to be an issue of him wanting to leave in free agency. That was the major pushback I got was, oh, we can focus on other things because he wants to be here. Well, sure. But I think it would be financially prudent to lock this guy up if he continues to evolve into the player that we think he's becoming. I mean, look what Bobby Witt just got. You know, I think Volpe could get a very similar type of contract.
Yeah, for sure. I guess first question we have to know to that to answer this is, are you re-signing Gleyber Torres at the end of this year?
It really depends on the year he has. I mean, right now, I want to see what Yorbit Vivas can do after he comes back from his injury. If he tears it up in the minor leagues and, you know, Gleyber starts asking for $150 million, then I might be tempted to go with the kid. But if Glaber's a reasonable price, yeah, I'd probably bring him back. I mean, he's pretty consistent, but I also don't want any part of like a 34, 35-year-old Gleyber Torres because I feel like he's already kind of slow. And I don't think he's going to age well. I feel like he's going to get clunky. He's going to end up being a DH.
Yeah, and if you're planning on re-signing Soto, which I totally hope that they are, that's your DH rotating with Judge, I think, in right field. They'll just kind of rotate those spots eventually. I don't really see a place for Torres in this lineup long-term, especially with some of the younger middle infielders. So to answer your original question about Volpe, yes, I do think so. If you believe that he is going to continue on this arc and become the player that you think, because the Volpe that we've seen these first few games, that's your leadoff hitter for the next 10 years. I mean, everything about his approach, his swing, screams leadoff hitter. It just does. His speed, that's his game. And if he continues to evolve that way, and I'm going to just say this right now, I think he looks like a totally different player.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Than he did last year. I mean, offensively, he reworked his swing. It's much more level. He's concentrating on those line drives, which I mentioned a couple weeks back. I was saying, that's his game. Don't hit home runs. I don't care about home
runs. He's still got home run power, though. I mean, we saw.
No, he does.
You catch a hanger right. He's gotten stronger. He barrels it up. He can still hit. I bet he still hits 20 home runs. But remember, we were saying, well, maybe he hits 260, 250, because raising your average 30 points in 1 year is not something that most players can do any given year. And he hit 209 last year. So you figure even a 30-point raise in average would be outstanding. That would still put him at 239.
Yeah.
He's looking like a 300 hitter. Like there, you can tell somebody's a 300 hitter by looking at him. He looks like it right now. He has completely changed the way he's approaching every at bat.
I mean, yeah, his swing looks way more crisp. He's having professional at bats, I've noticed. You know what I mean? I think last year, I think there may be some of that, like, holy shit, I'm the shortstop for the New York Yankees. You guys have to remember, this guy grew up a Yankee fan. Like, this was literally, this kid is living the dream right now. So I think last year, this may be silly to say, but I think it's anybody who's in that position, it'd be so hard not to think that way. But you're like, dude, I'm literally like teammates with Aaron Judge and I'm like on the Yankees. I think that's a bit of a trip. So now that he's had that year under his belt and he's like, okay, like I belong in this league. I want some hardware. I think that has done so much for his confidence. He also prepared this offseason. So coming into the season, he must be playing confident. And that's what the biggest takeaway is with these first few games is he's had a confidence that's an all-time high where he's starting to believe, oh, I actually belong in this league. I can play at this level. I can perform. So I think that really sky's the limit for him right now. He's going to ride this wave, keep playing well, keep swinging the bat pretty well, hitting the ball hard. But, you know, defensively, I haven't really seen any changes. Same defense that we've seen. And yes, offensively, I mentioned this before. I do think eventually he becomes our leadoff hitter.
I don't think he's going to be that long. He's looking good. All right, let's move on a little bit. We spent a lot of time on Volpe, but umpires were trash tonight. We got hosed. So, you know, there was a call on Judge that was about 4 inches below his knees. And then there was a check swing to Rizzo that was just awful. You know, I get human element. We're humans. We appreciate the human element, but I want to get the calls right in baseball, especially on balls and strikes. Like, I feel like if you can get balls and strikes right, I'm not saying necessarily full automated zone, but we got to get a challenge system in here like yesterday, because every night it's something with the umpires.
Yeah. I actually took some notes about this when I was watching the game, but to throw a stat out that Yes provided. So since 2017, 489 strikes below the zone called on Aaron Judge.
Ridiculous.
Since 2017. That's the most in Major League Baseball. Bogaerts is in second with 368. And you saw something tonight from Judge that's quite rare, is him complaining and kind of barking at the umpire. That's not really something we see from Aaron Judge. And the call was egregious. Go back and look at it. I mean, come on. That was just way under, way, way too low. Definitely nuts. Thing is, with the robo-umps, I tend to not want to do the straight robo-ump where they have a earpiece and it's just like somebody's going ball, strike, and they just like say it. I think I prefer the challenge system because I think there's some skill involved in that.
Yeah,
and
I like that.
I also think that I don't want to lose the entertainment of like Aaron Boone coming out and just like ripping the umpire a new one. And like there is entertainment to that when you see That's a manager fair. Like really getting into it and like yelling at the guy. So I think the best way to go about it would be a challenge system. But two more things as well with that. I don't understand why baseball is not using the same technology that tennis does. You know how tennis has the in versus out? They have that like three. You can't do that for foul balls, fair and foul balls. Same thing with the check swings. The FIFA has this thing with their goal line where you can see if the ball has completely broken the plane inside the net. You could do that with a baseball bat and seeing if they broke the plane. We have the technology. I just don't understand why it's not being implemented. And that's some of that MLB, they're stuck in the old ages kind of thing. I mean, guys, get it together. This is 2024 now. We have the technology to do it. And I think it would make the game better.
I agree with you. So Giancarlo Stanton, we're getting a lot of comments about him in the chat. Absolutely awful night from Giancarlo Stanton. Awful.
Yeah, he looked rough.
Struck out three times. So far, he's hitting 150. He does have a home run. He's a notoriously slow starter. I'm not going to panic yet because every day that he's in there striking out is just one more day closer to the Martian returning and us putting somebody else in that DH spot, whether it's Judge, whether it's Soto. Soto's actually playing pretty well on defense, but Ken Rosenthal had a nice piece about that today. But, you know, Stanton, what's your worry level with him? I'm at about, well, it's weird. My concern for his ability is like higher than my worry level because with the Martian coming back, it's like somebody who's, you know, it's like sink or swim, baby.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, with him, he's playing for his job right now. He just is. I don't care about the contract. I know the Yankees are going to be like, yeah, his contract. He's still, so he has this year and then three more years. And I think the contract is like slightly backloaded where it's like 32 this year, 32 next year, and then 25, 25, something kind of structured along those lines. But he hit 190 last year. It was important, I think, for him to get off to a strong start. I mentioned earlier what you're hoping with Stanton is he catch lightning in a bottle, specifically in October, because he has those weeks where he hits four home runs in like literally five games, and you're like, oh my God, this guy's the best hitter on the planet. And then there are some weeks where he looks lost, just completely like lost, has no idea what's going on. So also, I'm like, when is he going to get hurt? I'm kind of expecting him to just...
I think he may stay healthy this year. He looks more flexible. I will say that for him. He looks lighter, and he looks skinnier and more flexible, and he's bending his knees more to get the low pitch, but he's still got terrible strike zone judgment. Still swings at just garbage. Somebody posted earlier that he's a guess hitter. I 100% guarantee that that's true. Just like Josh Donaldson. Josh Donaldson, remember last year, there was a point where he had like 15 hits and 11 of them were home runs. It was ridiculous because the power is the last thing to go. As a big, strong dude with a little bit of bat speed, a little bit of strength, you barrel one up, you can still hit a home run. But you got to be able to see what pitch is coming. He cannot recognize a slider. He just can't do it.
No, pitch identification with him is literally kind of falling off a cliff, I think. I think when the Yankees acquired him, they didn't expect him to... his performance as a player to fall off as quickly and as drastically as it did. But you made it look, I was thinking about this the other day. I would say next year, if everything goes the way that we want it to in terms of roster construction, Volpe's your leadoff hitter. Then you have Soto. Then you have Judge, and they're flipping between DH and right field. They're rotating that spot. Then Spencer Jones, either center or left. I've seen both, but like left is huge.
Cleanup spot as a rookie? Why not Dominguez? Dominguez in the four spot.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying in the near future. Gotcha. So, okay. You know, but like in the very near future, this is going to be the lineup, I think. But yeah, I think Jones eventually becomes the cleanup hitter. Yeah, he's got that kind of talent. And then I would probably slot Dominguez in at five. I think those are interchangeable, though. You could probably flip them depending on who the pitching matchup is. But like, where's Stanton going to play? Where is he going to play? You know,
he can't play the field. We would have seen him out in the field if he was going to play the field at all. You know what I mean? So, you know, the first week of the season, I mean, you're not giving him any reps out there. I will say he's moving better. He jogs a little bit smoother and his swing looks more flexible. So I don't think he's going to snap a hamstring, but my confidence level in him as a hitter evaporates every time he swings at a pitch that's a foot outside. So also Jake Cousins tonight served up a gargantuan 3-run home run. That was kind of the nail in the coffin.
Hey, try not to give up any home runs on the way through the parking lot.
And get back here. Good slider, but didn't show me much else. For a slider to be effective, you've got to be able to spot your fastball, which he clearly cannot. And the Yankees lose this one going away.
Mission failed. We'll get him next time.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
And next time is later today. The Yankees will take on the D-backs at, I believe it's 3:30 Eastern. They got the, you know, getaway day. So Terrence and I will be back after the game. He's my West Coast guy. We're going to be, you know, it's just so much easier to talk it out after a West Coast game.
Yeah, actually, announcement about the West Coast. I will be going to three games this season in San Diego, Anaheim, and San Francisco. So if anybody's out there and wants to just say hello, I will do that. If anybody goes to those games, but yeah, I'll get some content for you guys on there too. But yeah, the game overall, sixth game of the season, right? I mean, it's kind of, you know,
gonna lose sometimes, you know, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, sometimes it rains. Any final thoughts before we wrap?
I will say with Cousins, the Yankees acquired him for a reason, guys. They may see something. They do this all the time. He's a sinker slider guy too, right?
Yeah. Good sink, but again, you got to hit your spots with it and he couldn't.
Oh no, the command is definitely an issue. But I don't think that's not overcomable for Matt Blake to tweak some things with his delivery and make him an effective reliever. I mean, his stuff has bite. definitely. His slider has good break. Sink had some nice sink to it. I think you could probably touch up a couple things and make some changes and definitely turn him into at least an effective reliever. I do see the potential there. They may think that they can unlock something. But yeah, tonight hung that slider, gave up the home run. As soon as he gave up the home run, which Christian Walker crushed, by the way, that was just gone immediately. I was like, yeah, the game's over. So, you know, I think they definitely acquired him because they may think that they can unlock something, kind of like Clay Holmes. So, yeah.
All right, let's do the wrap up dance because this game is over.
I got to get out of here.
Show off your shirt. Show off the shirt.
Oh, yeah. Merch, guys. 4 or 5 shirts. Good. I got the trucker hats in the fun hat style now available. I think that's brand new available. Looks good. And
all right.
I'll be rocking it this season.
Game over, man. Game
all right, over. Man. Thanks for joining. And everybody, like and subscribe and check out all the audio platforms and all that good stuff. And we will be back after tomorrow's game. Terrence, I'll see you then.
See you, dude.